This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news, a major victory in a free speech case for Trump supporters.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. We thought we'd start the day off with a win, which is kind of nice for a Thursday. I feel like it's Friday, but it's Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's a case that we worked on out on the West Coast for a person that worked for the Interior Department, the Parks Department, and was also a Trump supporter, and he had simply had a Trump bumper sticker on his car.
Yeah, he had some bumper stickers on his car, and after a job that he had done for years and years and years, I guess a couple complaints, if they're even really considered complaints, were enough to have him lose his job or lose his rights.
No, he lost his job, too. Yeah.
Just having his car parked in a parking lot. It wasn't like he was out there doing anything crazy, but because it was a quote-unquote political message, what most people have, which is a bumper sticker, a few bumper stickers of their car, of who they're supporting, that was enough to be it, and we were able to get some finality to this, which
was good. Yeah, which is good. So we got a victory here. Cece, what do we have?
Yeah, so it was great. This gentleman had worked at the Parks Department for 10 years. He was actually awarded the Award of Excellence and Volunteer of the Year for his services above and beyond the call of duty, his integrity, and his courteous and kind manner with everyone who meets him. So this was a stellar employee, and he gets fired because of one complaint that he has: bumper stickers on his car.
Nothing that he actually said or it impacted his work or anything like that.
Yeah, was it going up to people making political statements? This was just parking in a parking lot.
Nope. And the policy was very broad, and so we brought suit and we settled this, and they've changed their policy, and we have a really good win on this.
Yeah, they issued him back pay and all of that. And it's a good time to actually see, specifically we're going into a political season. We're about to have a very crazy year.
You think so?
I think so.
You may have a crazy couple of weeks coming up right here.
Couple of weeks, but it's certainly a 2024. And you need to know what your rights are and where we can help you out as well on whatever political side you're on or whoever you're politically supporting, that they can't just come in and do this.
Well, there's the guy who just had the bumper sticker on his car, doesn't say anything, gets fired. We end up getting his back pay too. But just put that back on the screen again. How many of these do you see every hour during political season? I mean, this is... he's got his he was in the military. He was a sergeant in the military, which we know from the litigation. Anyways, the case has been resolved successfully, and that is good news for our client and good news for free speech. Talking about free speech, we mentioned this yesterday on the broadcast, and this is going to become, I had a chance to really study it last night, and this is going to become a very big deal. And that is the Supreme Court granting review on one of the January 6th protesters' claims that utilizing the obstruction of Congress statute, interfering with an operation of a congressional act, was actionable under these indictments that came under Jack Smith and the DOJ. And it was a 2-1 decision at the District Court of Appeals. Two judges said they were constitutional, but Judge Katsas, who I know and is a great judge, Katsas was also in the White House counsel's office. So, he knows what's at play here, wrote an excellent dissent. I think that dissent is what got the case granted review, and I think there is a realistic chance that they curb significantly what constitutes a violation of what's called Section 1512. And because you have to carve out free speech protections, especially when you're dealing with core political speech.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, what we're seeing is speech is what has been targeted. We've seen that from the Biden administration a lot. And here, this is a case that's going up with Trump and this case of the insurrection, or what they say is an alleged insurrection, and is free speech going to be targeted by that?
All right. Why don't you go to ACLJ.org to support the work of the ACLJ right now, as we're in our Faith and Freedom year-end drive, about halfway through. We could really use your support right now. Go to ACLJ.org/champions right now, also, to not only have your gift doubled, but to become a monthly recurring member right now during our end of the year drive. We really appreciate it. We'll break down a lot of the details of that coming up in the next segment. We also love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Every gift makes a real impact here, whether it's $5 or, as yesterday, we received a gift for $5,000, and they're all doubled. So if you could do that, this is the weeks that count, folks. ACLJ.org. And if you can make that a monthly gift and become recurring, that's great. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to start by saying first a thank you to the thousands and thousands of you that have supported the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Let me talk specifically here to those of you that have joined the ACLJ as champions. We started this program off in October, and well, I'd like to get the current number as of right now. We started this off in October, and we had around 15,000 or so. Those are people that were donating monthly. And this was actually something Logan had been talking about for years that we needed to focus on, because a lot of ministries do, a lot of organizations do.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we have never really asked for at the ACLJ. We have been reliant on single donations. There have been a lot of you, 10 plus thousand of you, that are monthly donors, and it's always been an option, and we appreciate it. But we've never come out and just said, we'd love you to do this. And since we did, and since we sort of rebranded and changed the way that you can even, you know, take on your own brand as an ACLJ champion, we have really seen it change. We've really seen it change how we're able to budget and forecast for the future. That's something that, you know, as a organization that has been reliant on single donations.
Yeah.
And again, if you can make a single donation, we're not shunning that or discounting it. It's the majority
right.
of people who donate. We appreciate that. And that's why we never asked. We thought, what would happen if we asked? And we did, and people are showing up.
You know, it's interesting. We started with about 15,000 or so. We are just 80 shy. Let's get there today. We've got 17,920 people that are now donating monthly. We started with 15,000 in October. So basically, we've added almost 3,000 people, 1,000 a month. That's a lot. And we could see it in the daily reports we get, the difference this is making. So we are 80 shy from getting to 18,000. I think the goal for the year is to be at 18,500. So if you're able to donate, we'd appreciate it. This is our most important month, and I want to take some time to explain what that means to people. This is when we're doing the budgeting for all of next year. So what comes in is then allocated, and then you have reserves because you have situations like Israel, which have taken, I don't know, we probably have had, what, CC, 12, 13 lawyers
at any given time? Yes, absolutely.
European office, American office, U.S. offices, Jerusalem office been working on. They just finished yesterday. In their Brussels, Paris, Strasbourg meetings.
Yeah, you never know when these kind of situations are going to come up. And with the ACLJ, we have to be ready to take action immediately. So it can't be just a fundraising drive that goes, okay, we need to, obviously we're going to ask, we're going to talk about it. But we have to be able to go at a drop of the hat. And that's what we're able to do now that we have this sort of baseline champions group who are able to come in and say, yes, we are dedicating this every month. Obviously, you can cancel anytime. It's not like you're locked in and there's no contract here.
Right.
But we encourage everyone, obviously, to stay on and support because we're able to say, okay, we know we have this budget we can allocate towards even just travel.
Yep.
You got to think of the cost of just getting to these places is, you know, absurd. It's, you know, probably to do one of those trips is as much we raise in a day. You know, I mean, that's what you gotta think. Or a full day or a full week even, because sometimes it's just travel.
We were
costs.
Moving five lawyers around Europe
that's
to multiple
right.
locations. We had how many of us were? We had you, me, Andy. We had plus our team. We had seven in DC. So I mean, it's a lot. So here's the things, folks. Your support makes this possible for us to do all of that. Whether that is, like Logan said, a one-time gift. You know, if you donate it, we got a donation last night, $5,000 came in right before midnight. We're not expecting that person to be able to donate $5,000 a month, but we got a $20 gift. And I don't know if that person can donate, you know, every month either, but if you can, it makes a huge difference becoming an ACLJ champion. I want to go through some of the things we're looking at right now, just the cases. We have 15 challenges on 14th Amendment cases. We are waiting with bated breath. They keep saying it's coming from the Colorado Supreme Court. That's the one I think that will go to the Supreme Court of the United States, trying to get Trump off the ballot. And as I've said, whether you're for Trump, against Trump, it doesn't matter. The idea that a Secretary of State or a Board of Election Supervisors just removes somebody from the ballot is absurd. I mean, without a trial? I mean, it's, and first of all, even under a trial, the 14th Amendment doesn't allow it under Section 3. So we've been successful in all of those cases. We're about to intervene and file in another one. But the Colorado case, where we are a party, is going to go to the Supreme Court of the United States, and it will go on an expedited basis. So I expect that work to go in September. So listen to what's coming in September just at the Supreme Court. Logan, this is what people need to understand. Just at the Supreme Court, you've got the Colorado removal from ballot election integrity case. You've got the what constitutes an obstruction of an act of Congress case that we'll be filing in at the Supreme Court of the United States. What constitutes executive presidential immunity and privilege at the United States. And folks, we've done more of that litigation than anybody in the country because we represented the former president for 4 years and litigated those issues at the Supreme Court of the United States. Then the Supreme Court also took, CC, the abortion mandate bill.
That's right. And that's one that we've been following from its inception.
Tell people what that one involves because it's confusing.
So the mifepristone is an abortion pill that is the medical medication abortion and really accounts for the majority of abortions are now medication abortions. And since 2016, the FDA has just dropped a lot of safety regulations without any really administrative procedure doing that. They violated their administrative procedure. So before, you could only prescribe this pill if you were up to 7 weeks. Now it's 10 weeks. And that you used to have a doctor and an in-person visit. You don't have to have that anymore. And in fact, you can actually get these prescribed through you through telehealth and sent to you in the mail. So there have been a lot of downgrades of just the protections for women. And we have followed that. And we will continue to follow that, and it's now at the Supreme Court.
So we're going to be filing in that one. I mean, this just gives you a sense. We talked about the Christian persecution case and the Shahzad case at the Pakistan Supreme Court. And then the Israel lawfare Hamas situation is going to bring all this ICC work. And they're putting together a global legal task force, which we're going to be a big part of. And they may be having a meeting on that in London, Madrid in January or February. I mean, this gives you a sense of why we are talking about the importance of standing with the ACLJ. So every gift you make has a direct impact. And I said, whether it's $5 or $5,000. And the good thing about this month is it's doubled. So whatever you donate, we get a matching gift for. We're behind our annual goal right now because I'll be honest with you. We had a slow start. And Logan, we look at this every day. Our whole executive team does. We had a slower start to the beginning of the year. It's picked up significantly.
Yeah, it's just it was the nature of the year for a lot of people as well, not just the ACLJ. It was just what we were dealing with. Everyone was dealing with sort of an economic crisis, obviously, that was happening. But thankfully, we were able to continue to move, continue to grow. And things are coming around here towards the end of the year.
I'll tell you exactly what the gap is. The gap is $1.2 million. That's the differential of where we want to be to where we are right now. So every dollar, every donation helps. Many of you have been, as one of our callers said, reporting for duty as an ACLJ champion. And those of you are making a really big difference. Every donation makes a big difference. Let me tell you that, folks, because 95% of you are not able to give each month. And we understand. But those of you that are, and it's now almost 17,920. I'll get an update on that a little bit later, see if we added more. I'd love to be at 18,000 by the end of the broadcast. We broadcast multiple times today, so we'll see how that goes. Garrett from Virginia said, the reason we support the ACLJ is the decades worth of wonderful victories. And the truth is, we've been doing this for four decades. It's hard to believe sometimes that we've been doing this for 40 years, but we have been. And so I'm going to ask you to join Garrett and all the others that have called in and said, we're standing with the ACLJ. If you can become a champion, a monthly donor, that's great. If you could do that today, that is great. That really makes a big difference. So go to aclj.org/champions or just aclj.org. There's a donate now button right on the website, and we encourage you to do that. Also, sign up for all of our social media. We put a lot of content out, Logan. People need to understand. And it's free. We don't put it behind paywalls.
No, and that's one of the main focuses here is make sure we have the option to give you all the content and all of the, really, the ammunition, if you will, to tell your friends about what we do here and why they should support the work that we do and get behind the issues and why not only should you care, why it's important. And we do this multiple times a day. There is incredible amount of content being put out. This is just 1 hour of content. There are so many videos, so many blogs, news articles, social media posts, memes, images. All that has to be made also by a team of people. You got to understand that none of that is just created out of nothing. There's an incredible team putting all of that together. Like I always say, there's three of us here right now on set. There's 10 people I'm looking at right now through the window here.
Can we get a camera back there for next year?
Maybe so, but it's a big operation.
They don't want to be on camera, is that it?
It's a big operation, and the scope of it is very large, and we need your support, and that's why you can do it right now at aclj.org. And again, all the gifts are doubled right now. And you can become a champion and get in that program as well.
Yeah, and by the way, we're going to be doing a year-end concert for the Jay Sekulow Band for the end of the year. And I also want to remind everybody that the movie is out. Yeah. And what a great success this has been so far.
Sure, that's right. We have our new Christmas movie, Jingle Smells. It's a big Christmas comedy with a lot of heart and a lot of really important messages and ACLJ messages. And when you support that movie, not only are you sending a message to Hollywood that this is not the content they're producing is not the content you want, you are also putting your money back to the ACLJ because a large portion of those proceeds go straight back to the organization. So you can do that by going to jinglesmells.movie. You can watch it now on Rumble, on Vudu, which is Fandango, which is available on most TVs, and DVDs are available as well. You can do that right now, again, at jinglesmells.movie. Great Christmas movie that was produced by us here at the ACLJ.
By the way, I've watched it both on Rumble and on Vudu.
Well, that's good.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It really is great. Am I biased that I say my favorite scene is my favorite scene?
Well, happens I mean, don't
that my
spoil it, though. I mean, it's,
my grandkids happen to be
it's further into the movie, so... You don't want to ruin everyone's adventure here when they go through this movie.
No,
but
it's a great
movie. Incredible cast.
Unbelievable.
Take a look
cast.
At it. It's got
two SNL alums.
Yeah, great SNL alums. It's got John Schneider, our friend, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow. So much great stuff, Jingle Smells.
And we're hosting movie. Hannity tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up.
All right.
Welcome back to Secular. We are going to take your calls also at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. So if you want to call, this is a great time to call. Tell us why you support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that as well by giving us a call.
All right. I want to go to talk about all of the Supreme Court activity that we've seen on the what I will call the Trump-related matters, because there's been significant developments in Washington, D.C. on the Trump case, the one that was just actually scheduled for March 4th trial. I see no way. We just played during the break a montage of a piece that our team put together where Ellie Honig, the CNN legal analyst, said he doesn't see any way now that this case can move forward March 4th. And that's because two things have happened. The Supreme Court is asked to brief the need for expedited review of the Trump executive privilege claim. That's what we argued in presidential immunity. That is that a sitting president, when he does actions in the scope of his authority, he can't be sued for those things. And then when he's out of office under a Nixon versus Fitzgerald case, the answer is still you can't be sued, but they're trying to take a different view here at the Department of Justice. And then at the same time, I mean, shockingly, yesterday, the Supreme Court grants review in one of the January 6th cases, and it happens to be a charge that involves also been charged against the president, which is obstruction of an act of Congress. So, Harry, you've had a chance to look at it, and Judge Katsas, Greg Katsas, who I know is a very good judge, issued a very, very well-reasoned dissent. I think that's why the Supreme Court's hearing it.
I think that is precisely correct. And also, it's important to keep in mind that Jack Smith's approach to the law amounts to nothing less than what the French call the ensavagement of the law. That is, using the law as a cudgel and using the law, if you will, as a battering ram. So Jack Smith has a reputation for overcharging defendants and for disregarding justice. And I think that is perhaps going to come home to roost in this particular case. Importantly, the Supreme Court will hear a dispute over an obstruction law used to prosecute the January 6th defendants, and the case has direct implications for Jack Smith's indictment of Donald Trump. So keep in mind there are four counts to the indictment, and two counts are related to Section 1512, and a second count would be blocked by Trump's claim of absolute immunity. If those decisions go in Trump's favor, then I think the case against Donald Trump
crumbles.
Collapses.
Yeah, I agree.
And this will create momentum in Trump's favor, I would argue, with respect to other litigation.
Well, even the state litigation, which is not technically affected by it, but they're all using these rather bizarre theories of law. In Georgia, it's the RICO statute, which is for this is insane. You mentioned that Jack Smith's overcharging. That was exactly what happened in the McDonald case. I was involved in the McDonald appeal to the Supreme Court, which we won 9-0. Jack Smith lost 9-0. No justice of the Supreme Court took Jack Smith's view of the bribery statute. And the Supreme Court has taken another bribery case, too. So, I mean, you've got just a lot of moving parts here. But I just, when you read the order from Judge Chunkin, who she says now she doesn't even have jurisdiction over the case pending this, there is no way this case goes to trial in 14 weeks. I mean, as defense lawyers, you're not going to even have the evidence presented to you, the exculpatory evidence.
Absolutely. It's pending before the Supreme Court. We don't know how long that's going to take. We're hoping expedited.
Well, no, I think actually what should have happened was the Court of Appeals, all these should have been reviewed en banc. They should have gone through the normal process. But Jack Smith he's expediting. And we'll see. But that expediting, you're right, may bite him in the back here.
Yes. And it's going to take time. So March 4th is quickly coming up. And so just like the judge is saying, she no longer has jurisdiction. It's very hard to see a March 4th date staying true.
Well, she says in her order, considering at the time whether to retain or continue the dates of any future deadlines or proceedings, including whether I can schedule the trial for March 4th, the court emphasizes that these are all held in abeyance right now. The arguments on immunity and the arguments on the January 6th obstruction are very different, Harry. I mean, one's a First Amendment case, right? Because Katsas was concerned about the overbreath of the interpretation impacted free speech, your ability to hold a sign and a protest or petition the government for redress of a grievance. On the immunity case, that is an Article II case.
Absolutely. And so if we take the First Amendment issue initially, we find that part of the problem with any Section 1512 case, particularly a case brought by Jack Smith, is that there is a distinct danger that it will impinge upon the freedom of speech rights of individuals who are subsequently charged to make allegations that they truly believe, notwithstanding the fact that perhaps 90 to 95% of Americans disagree with the claim. And so I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind is Jack Smith seems to be insufficiently concerned about violating the Constitution. That's number one. Number two, he seems to be insufficiently concerned about violating the constitutional rights of a serving president. A serving president has to have discretion, has to have latitude. You and I could disagree with a decision taken by President Trump, but nonetheless, that does not amount to criminal activity.
I was actually surprised, Harry, that the Department of Justice has taken the view that this would not qualify for presidential immunity because there's a Democrat in office, so you've got a Democratic administration. The same rules will apply to him.
Absolutely.
And the idea that you can start filing suits or bring criminal cases against presidents because you didn't like the policies they implemented or the words they said at a speech or their activities about the election, which is all core what they do as commander-in-chief and chief executive of the United States, is really scary.
It is absolutely scary. And if we take for a moment the situation in Ukraine, it's very possible that the facts on the ground will later prove that many of the statements that President Biden made in support of Ukraine were indeed untrue. Can we now then criminalize those statements once he's out of office?
Our answer to that would be no. I don't think he can function as the president. You're gonna report on things that aren't right. Facts are going to change.
Right.
I mean, I got a lot of flack when I said that years ago. Facts develop. Facts evolve. But facts do evolve. What was a fact may not 2 years later look like it was correct. It could have not been a fact. But at the time, it seemed relevant. All this to say, the amount of work that's going to go on between right now and, say, the end of January for the ACLJ is at a record number. And, folks, that's where we need people to support the work of the ACLJ.
That's right. We got a minute left in this half hour. We still got another half hour coming up, so you don't get us if you're listening on local radio. You can find us broadcasting live on Rumble, on ACLJ.org, on YouTube. Thousands of you watch on those platforms. We appreciate it. Of course, people listen later on radio and podcasts and all those different outlets. We want to make sure we're always available in those outlets for you. We can't do that without your support, whether that's in the law, whether that's in the media, we're going to be there. Whether that is, again, like you're talking about the 14th Amendment, whether it's defending the Constitution, life, religious freedom, all the different topics. Obviously, Israel, which is on the front of everyone's mind. We're heading to the final night of Hanukkah. Every gift makes an impact, whether it's $5 or $5,000, and it is doubled today at ACLJ.org. We are behind on our annual goal right now. We need each and every one of you in this last couple of weeks of the year to support the work here. A lot of you have joined in. We want more. We want more people to say, hey, I not only want to support the work of the ACLJ, I can become an ACLJ champion. So if you want to make a one-time gift into the year, we know a lot of you do that, ACLJ.org. But also, you can become an ACLJ champion at ACLJ.org/champions. We'll be right back with second half hour coming up.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Brocast. Logan, have you caught your breath in the first half hour?
Yeah, it was a fast half hour. Obviously, we're talking a lot about the work of the ACLJ as we are heading into this final weeks of the year. It's always important for all nonprofits to really be out there talking about it because it's the time of the year where most people make their charitable giving. I think we need to explain that. And maybe you're not one of those people. Maybe you're one of the great people who individually makes a donation all the time throughout the year. But we see such a major uptick in the months of November and December, really the last few weeks of December, as people are making those decisions on
biggest
what they're going to do.
Of the year. Biggest
and
weeks of the year.
With so much financial uncertainty for the mass majority of the year, now having a little bit of stability, a lot of people are seeing that. We're able to hopefully talk to you about all the work we're doing here, whether that's overseas, whether that's in Israel, or whether that's here in the States. And I know some of you have called in. We're going to try to get some of those. If you want to call in, we still have a half hour coming up. Rick Rennell's going to be joining us in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you. Haven't had a lot of calls today, so this is a great time to call in.
We are hosting Sean Hannity's broadcast tomorrow.
Radio.
Yeah, his radio broadcast tomorrow. So that'll be fun, and we'll look forward to that. I do need to say that we are, as is not unusual for us, at the end of the year, not only do we have a financial need, but the legal work is mounting up. And that's because the Supreme Court has granted an abortion case, have granted a January 6th case involving Section 1512 of the Criminal Code, which has huge ramifications for free speech and for the Trump litigation, has granted the executive immunity claim of President Trump's. That will be possibly expedited review. They're going through that now. I am the one who argued that the first time at the Supreme Court of the United States. And we argued it as it related to Congress, too. So we're involved in all of this. We've got, the abortion pill mandate case. So you just look at the Supreme Court work alone, which is about a six-lawyer team that works on the Supreme Court issues. It's gigantic. A bribery case was taken that we think merited our involvement because it interpreted bribery in such a way that government couldn't function.
Well, we take cases on such a large scale. In terms of they could be a case that needs 20 lawyers, an international team, or it could be sending a young lawyer to the streets to protect a street preacher or to say you can put up your nativity scene.
Or have a Trump bumper sticker on your car when you work for the state Interior Department.
Yeah, if you're just joining us on social media, you may have seen that headline. That's something that we won. There is so much happening on such a big scale at the ACLJ. I think it's hard for people to really fathom. You hear from a handful of people on this broadcast, and that's, it's a television show. It's a radio show. You hear from the same voices often, get you familiar with it. But there are a team of hundreds of people across the world, not just in this country, working on ACLJ, either legal or media, at all times, 24 hours a day.
One of the things we're trying to do is build up our what we call ACLJ Champions Group. These are people that are standing with us monthly. We started today with 17,920. We are at last count, and that's already been a half hour, 15 minutes ago, 17,941. So we added 20 new champions. That's a big difference for us, folks. When you have these people every month, it really builds. So whether you can give, as Logan said, $5,000 or $5, it's doubled this month. That's number one importance. So donating, if you can only do it once, great. If you can do monthly, that helps us on our ACLJ Champion Program. It allows us to do all of these cases that we're involved in. And then there's so many more that we don't even have time to talk about on our broadcast, which is another reason why you need to be following us on all the social media that we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do that. I mean, whatever platform you're on, we're pretty much there. So you can find you personally, Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, I'm on there as well. And you can find other people as well, but the main ACLJ pages and on all social media platforms, YouTube, Rumble as well. We broadcast that live there each and every day. So if you are listening to this right now, you can actually see us in studio Monday through Friday doing this live.
You got a cool jacket on.
I do, because you put a fan on me. I'm very cold over here.
So hey,
I gotta keep myself, regulated. Also, it's winter. It's Christmas time.
Okay.
It was time. So it is what it is. We're going to take some calls coming up in the next segment
Rick Grinnell's going to be joining us.
As hearing from Rick Grinnell, who, again, we couldn't have people like Rick on our team without your support.
Oh, we have Rick Grinnell, Mike Pompeo, Tulsi Gabbard, all part of the ACLJ team. Think about that for a moment, folks, the scope and nature. And we're looking for additional folks that we can bring in. So a lot going on.
Yeah, if you have any suggestions, put them in the chat. Who would you like to see join the ACLJ team in 2024? That'd be pretty interesting. Put that in the chat on Rumble. All right, we'll be right back with more.
We'll look at that.
I will.
You can call in and ask us. 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. By the way, our team in Strasbourg just finished up 2 weeks of working with Israeli family hostages. They were in Brussels, they were in Paris, they were in Strasbourg, and that work is just completed. That was an outflow of the work that we did in Washington, D.C. the week before that. So our team has been, there's a picture of our group, have been out for 3 weeks standing up for Israel and standing up for these hostages. Rick Rennell's joining us right now. Rick, of course, was the acting director of national intelligence. He was our ambassador to Germany. And has had vast experience at the United Nations. So, Rick, you got the National Security Advisor is heading to Israel to meet with Netanyahu. What's your thoughts on what that's going to be like?
Well, it's a little crazy because the President of the United States went, didn't get our hostages back. The Secretary of State went, didn't get our hostages back. So now we're sending Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor. I'm not sure that this is the best negotiations when you go lower to try to get the hostages back. This seems pro forma. It seems like they're just trying to look like they're doing something. But I don't understand why Anthony Blinken is not parked in his plane in Doha and just saying, I'm not leaving until we bring American hostages home from Hamas.
So I was going to ask you this question, Rick. If you were in that situation, you've been in this kind of situation before in government, and I've negotiated hostage releases. You're right. This is like it's like the opposite way of we do it. We used to call it the Ministry of Presence with hostages negotiated. You just had to be there because you never knew when a break was going to take place. Remember when we did Brunson? You were the ambassador to Germany. You were working with us. We had your counterpart in Turkey helping us. The president of the United States himself, President Trump, was on the phone with Erdogan. I was in the Oval Office when all this was going on. I was working with you, Mike Pompeo. I mean, we had the full battery of government from the highest level to those that run policy to get the release of that pastor. And we got 10 Americans, it looks like, 8 to 10. Hopefully they're still alive. Who knows? But they're being held captive by Hamas. And Hamas, when they released the citizens of Thailand and the Russians, they did not release the Americans. What would you be doing?
Well, just on a side note, if you remember, it was Jeff Hovenier who was in Turkey who used to work for me, and he's now our U.S. ambassador to Kosovo. So things really come full around. Look, the reality is, Jay, you know this, you get the President of the United States involved. It's not about staff. What we had is Donald Trump calling Erdogan and saying, this is what I want, and this is what's going to happen if I don't get what I want. You've got to be able to have the President of the United States put the leverage forward. And that's what we don't see. I mean, one, Biden is not the one who's calling the Qataris or others to say, get our hostages home. And two, I'm not sure he has the credibility to say, we're going to bring down your economy. We're going to increase the barriers on trade. I mean, there's a whole bunch of tools in the U.S. government tool shed, but you got to be able to have a president that can use them.
You know, one of the things I remember with Brunson specifically, I was in the Oval Office. I think the president had you on the line and Erdogan. I may be getting that part messed up, but the president said, you don't let this guy go, it's going to cost you ₺1 billion a week. And when we did it for 1 week, he said, go ahead.
I will ruin your economy.
Yes, that's what he said. I'm going to ruin your economy. And this pastor that nobody heard of is going to be more famous than Billy Graham. Who else would say that but Donald Trump, right? And lo and behold, 4 days later, you're at the airport in Berlin, I believe, meeting him at 2:00 in the morning. He was out.
Yeah. Look, it's the credibility of the messenger, right? When the messenger says, I'm going to do this, and you believe that person is actually being truthful, that they just might do it, that is the whole elixir. That is how you solve these problems, is having somebody who has a credible threat that is going to absolutely fulfill that threat, or you believe that he's going to, and that's how you solve problems.
So with Brunson, I remember this. It was $1 billion of lira a week. And then I remember this distinctly, that I think you and I were on a call, or maybe you and I and the president, and it looked like we were going to get Brunson out. I mean, like, in, it was like momentarily. Remember, they moved him to his house. I remember what happened. They took him out of the jail, which was unexpected, moved him to his home. They put a lot of security there. We knew something was moving. I got on this broadcast, Rick, sitting in this chair. I was in this chair, and I said, well, we may be 24 to 48 hours away from the arrival of Andrew Brunson, and it'll be a successful conclusion to an American hostage, pastor upheld. It's going to be great for the country, great for his family, great for religious freedom. And the Financial Times wrote an article saying the lira went up that day because Seculo on his broadcast said it looked like Brunson was going to be released. And like, lo and behold, as I said, 24 hours later, you were meeting him at the airport.
Yeah, well, I on the other side, in Germany, I was in Berlin and I actually met him at Ramstein Air Force Base. So I had like more than a 4-hour car ride to get down. And so I remember getting a call from a very senior military person who said, it might happen. You better get to Ramstein right away. So we start driving in the middle.
Do we have that photo of Rick giving the flag to Brunson? We used to have. You have it. Let's see if we've got.
Give us a minute to get it.
Okay. So Rick, on this with the hostages, going back to the United States situation here, we got 8 to 10 U.S. hostages. Hopefully, they're still alive. You think this is being handled by Team B instead of Team A?
Yeah, look, I think the president of the United States has got to go all in. The secretary of state needs to be parked in Doha. And we need to send the message that this is important. This is our top priority. When you send Jake Sullivan, you know, he's an academic. He's going to have some white paper. He doesn't have any leverage. And so, you know, he's not going to meet with top officials. He's going to meet with his counterpart. And that's not enough.
Are you optimistic that we will see a release of these hostages if they're alive?
With every single day, I get less optimistic. I'll say it that way.
One of the things that I tend to, and I agree, that every day that goes by, we got a report on one, and I cannot go into the details, that we thought was not alive is alive. I'm not going to say who. But that report's now 2 weeks old. So in the conditions that they're in these tunnels in Gaza, and now maybe in Gaza City, but past Gaza City, they may be now in Khan Yunus, I'm with you. I think every day that goes by makes our job more and more difficult, both for the Americans and the Israelis.
Well, look, I think also the media in Washington, D.C. are just being shameless. They are not helping the situation. They're not pressuring Joe Biden and the Secretary of State. Believe you me, if we had American hostages under the Trump administration, they would be camped out front of the offices and homes of U.S. officials demanding more action. And now we have a celebration that Jake Sullivan is going to go to the region for 2 days.
I thought that was such a come down, and to be honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very, it's anticlimactic. And
this is how I'm praying it ends for our American hostages. Let me put this picture on the screen. This is a picture of Rick as the ambassador to Germany with Andrew Brunson and his wife. You handed him an American flag. I know it was very emotional for everybody that was on that flight. It was certainly emotional for our team. That's the way I'm praying, Rick, that this ends. That whoever...
You know, Jay, when I looked up and I was at the bottom of the stairs and I could see Pastor Brunson coming down, as you know, it was a very emotional couple of weeks. America was watching. And as he descended down the plane on an American base, we knew he was safe. I was praying the whole time. I knew that he needed to see strength from American officials. It was very difficult for me in that moment, but I was just praying that God would give me the strength to share with Pastor Brunson and his wife that the American people never forgot about him. It's an incredible moment.
Which is the greatest fear that these hostages have. Every time we've talked to them after we've gotten them out, Rick, I know you have too, is they worried about they were being forgotten. And that's why you got to keep it front and center. Yeah, go ahead.
My first words to him when I handed him the flag was, Pastor Brunson, I want you to know that Donald Trump and the American people never forgot about you. There wasn't one day that we weren't negotiating for you. This is a celebration, and praise God.
You know, it's interesting. I remember the president telling me, this was one area he was great at. I mean, the hostage release stuff was great. I remember him telling me, he called me up. I think I was in Atlanta on a meeting, and he called me up. It was late at night, and he said, I'm getting your pastor out. We got it pretty much worked out. And he said, but I want you to call up Pastor Brunson, because he was at home. At that point, they moved him to home confinement. And just tell him to be strong for these next 24 to 48 hours, because he knew that the Turks could be tough and try to play something at the end. And Brunson did that, and when we celebrated that, I am praying that that picture we are showing you right now is a picture we see with 8 or 10 American hostages coming out of Hamas control. That's what we need to be praying about.
I want to add one quick point. I've gotten to know the Erdogan people pretty well. And a very senior person on the Erdogan team recently told me, like at the UN this year, told me that they realize that they did not handle the Pastor Brunson case very well, and that it should have been handled differently. And I thought that that was a real lesson for the strength of Donald Trump.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate it as always. Rick's a part of our team because of people like you supporting the work of the ACLJ. And look at the results we were able to get. So I want you to support. It's very, very important time for our Faith and Freedom year-end drive. If you can donate monthly and become an ACLJ champion. But if it's a one-time gift, whether it's $5 or, as Logan said, $5,000, it makes a huge difference at aclj.org. And any amount you can do, we really appreciate it. Again, aclj.org. If you become a champion, that means you'll donate monthly. aclj.org/champion.
Welcome back to Secular. We're going to lead off with a call. Annabelle is calling from California on line two. You're on the air.
Hi, Annabelle.
Hi, Jay and Jordan. Annabelle Champion reporting for duty.
You know,
we've all heard and maybe even said, persecution, that can't happen to me. Tell that to the victims of the Lois Lerner scandal. It was ACLJ's masterful success for your clients in that case that prompted me to become a champion. These are spiritual and hope-filled times, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year. God provides many pathways to walk through, choices to help us navigate life. I truly believe God's grace has equipped us with the passion and expertise of the ACLJ. Please join thousands like me who have availed themselves of this protection from evil through their support. We can win if we stick together. God bless you.
Yes, thank you so much, Annabelle, for that call. It means a lot to all of us here.
It sure does, and it's encouraging because, look, the work is intense. I mean, we're in an intense period of time. We've got our teams, you know, we're working late at night trying to figure out who's going to do what, who's going to cover what cases. And the fact is that there is a rush at the end of the year here. It happens. It's happened again. And this time the rush is focusing in on Supreme Court work. So we're still waiting for that Colorado Supreme Court decision. I expect it this week. Who knows now? I'm not going to stop guessing. On the 14th Amendment, we won at the trial court despite thinking we were not. And then we'll see what the Colorado Supreme Court, that's going to end up at the Supreme Court. So we've got four Supreme Court cases here at the end of the year. So that makes a big difference on how we allocate our resources. And that's really where you come in, folks, at aclj.org. I don't know what our current number of champions are. I know we were up to 17,941. I wanted to get to 18,000 by the end of today with our re-airs. I think we'll get there. But that makes a huge difference. But I want to change the topic to get off the heavy legal for a minute. And let's talk about something fun.
That's right. And something fun also, though, is still an important thing. One of the things the ACLJ has always been dedicated to over the last 25 plus years of the organization. The organization has been around for you know, coming on 40 years in some form or fashion. And really since the very beginning, since our beginnings on TBN or on with Pat Robertson, the 700 Club, or however it was always to impact media, get into your household in a different way than maybe the traditional legal law firm kind of way. And with that, we've had to change with the times. You've seen us grow into doing this live streaming. I think someone said this is the 10 year of us doing some form of live streaming, whether that was on the original Periscope, where we would literally run in with a phone and a camera, being some of the first people, I think on the first day of Facebook Live.
We had a lot of people watching those days,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Facebook, yeah, it was before the big social started to really kind of tamper down, and reason we're on platforms like Rumble now. We were probably one of the first people ever on Facebook Live or organizations. We're able to do that and continually innovate. And one thing that we knew that we weren't hitting were families who were getting fed a lot of messages that didn't exactly align with their values and the values of this organization. So how can you impact that? How can you be a part of that? How can you be a part of that cultural shift? Well, what we could do is take the incredible team we have here, present this daily broadcast, present a weekly television show, create podcasts, create broadcasts, create social media posts. And then now we've gone into feature filmmaking, and we decided what would not have been the easiest thing. The easiest thing would have been to do a drama on one of our key topics And that's our focus. We know that you would like it, and we go for it. Not to say we won't do that down the road. We decide what we're going to do first is something that you can put on with your kids, with your grandkids, watch something with your family that's going to be infused with a lot of the messages you hear here at the ACLJ, but in a clever, creative, comedic way. And that's why we decided to launch with a big Christmas comedy. It's called Jingle Smells. You've heard me talk about it for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And we are coming towards a big weekend. Obviously, you can only promote these movies during the holiday season.
Till January 1st.
So this is kind of, yeah, we're headed towards halfway through our promotional schedule for this. And we are doing really well.
Talk about your cast.
Yeah, our cast is awesome. But before I do that, the movie's available right now. You can watch it, stream it on demand on jinglesmells.movie. You can either watch it on Rumble or Vudu, and DVDs are available on John Schneider's platform. But you can find that, just all of it. It's three big buttons. We made it pretty easy. But the cast is incredible. Like we said, we have John Schneider from The Dukes of Hazzard and Smallville, and I mean, so many other things. He's just an incredible talent. And I believe he'll be on Hannity, on Sean Hannity tonight, as well as other platform. He'll be on tomorrow on Hannity Radio as well. You have Ben Davies, who's our lead, who's like our young lead, who, again, he plays a soldier that has come back from Afghanistan, from the withdrawal in Afghanistan, and sort of the impact that that's had on him and his life moving forward over the last couple of years. Again, it's all wrapped in a big comedy, but there's a lot of heart, a lot of messages
in
there.
In that movie.
A lot of redemption. And then, of course, we have some really fun cast members like Academy Award nominee Eric Roberts, who plays sort of the head of this big toy company. We've got a couple pro wrestlers with Dylan Postel, who's Hornswoggle, as well as James Storm. Both of them are excellent. And then we decided to really pack it, since it is a comedy, with some big comedic forces like Brad Stein, who, you know, has been one of the top Christian comedians for the last 15, 20 years.
He does a great job in the movie.
He does a great job. He's really amazing in it, as well as SNL alums Jim Brewer, Victoria Jackson, as well as all of us that are in it, too. So we all make cameos. You're in it. The J Secular Band is in it. Yep. I make a cameo. Jordan does. All of our family makes appearances. And it's a beautiful story, beautifully shot by our director of photography, Isaac, as well as Daniel, our director, who really did a terrific job making this movie really shine. You know, there is a different world happening right now. And with your support of the ACLJ, we're able to impact culture in different ways. And this one, we think, is a major way we can start shifting how people feel and how they feel about certain issues. So this was our first attempt at that. Here's what I know. The people who love this movie, they love it. And exactly the people you thought would hate this movie, they hate it. And that is something you should take with pride, because if you are triggering the right people, then maybe that means we have done our job a bit, because they're the ones who are nervous. They are nervous when these movies do well. They are nervous when you platform with someone like Rumble, who can go direct to the source. You don't have to go through the big Hollywood system to do it. And it is really amazing to see it. The turnout, again, we launched on Rumble. Now it's available because of the demand that happened on Rumble. It's now available on Vudu, and we're getting offers for next year already because there is a cultural shift happening right now for faith movies and for movies that have conservative messages in them. And we've done that here. And again, even if you are not religious, even if you're honestly not even conservative, at the end of the day, you're going to find this movie funny, enjoyable, something you can watch with your family and really love it. And again, it's part of the ACLJ. It's ACLJ film. So a large portion of the proceeds that come in, will go back to the ACLJ. So we appreciate all of that.
Yeah. So go to Rumble. Go to jinglesmells.movie.
.movie, that's the domain.
Boom, and you can figure out the three ways to get it, and I've watched it on all three. It's great.
Very simple.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When was the last time, do you think, two SNL alums, Victoria and Jim, were on the set together before this program?
I'm not sure if they ever have been. They were slightly different SNL years. So Victoria came in, she was in the late 80s to the early 90s, and Jim came in sort of that early to mid 90s. So I think they were not there. But
this was probably the first.
I think they met at the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live about eight or nine years ago. And again, they've both been really outspoken people, not just on politics. In general, I'd say that Jim, who has put out a new comedy special, it's not necessarily about politics for him. It's about not isolating your audience. It's not about picking sides necessarily. Though I think his audience has leaned more conservative. If you watch his specials, you'll certainly get his point of view. It is about creating comedy for the masses and understanding that 50% of your audience is not, you know, incredibly left-wing liberals, and knowing that there is a huge audience there. And our goal is to make this number one Christmas movie of the year. And you can do that. You can be a part of that movement right now by going to jinglesmells.movie. Again, we're going to continue the promotion for the next few weeks. We want you to see this. It's a big, fun family comedy with a lot of heart, A lot of humor. Sean Hannity, executive producer, and he's also in the movie as well. So that's a lot of fun. And you'll see a lot of other cameos and appearances. Governor Mike Huckabee appears in some ways.
Awesome. It's really great.
It's a great piece. We're very proud of it. And you should go to jinglesmells.movie and, of course, support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, and Will just told me we are now up to 17,951. So we're 49 shy of getting to our goal for today of 18,000 ACLJ champions, people that are standing with us monthly. If you could do that, go to aclj.org/champions. If you want to make a one-time gift, aclj.org. Talk to you tomorrow.